Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And a beautiful Rocktober evening out here as we approach darkness here in the Kentuckiana area tonight. If you're just joining the broadcast, we're talking with Captain Jim Durham of Striper Fun Guide Service about striper and hybrid fishing in the fall period, which is... it's rocking, just like the month says, and it's going to get better and better as we move into the late fall period. And it's a time of year when you catch them a variety of ways is one of the things that really, really excites me about it. And Jim, let me give the numbers tonight in case folks have any deer reports or any fishing reports from the lakes. The numbers are 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. And we'll be glad to talk to you about what you saw on the lake today or questions you may have about the outdoors in general. Jim, you know, I started the show talking about crappie and how good the fishing is for them right now. And I compared the fall crappie fishing to the spring, and I actually prefer the fall. I find it to be more consistent, and the fish are fatter on average. What are your thoughts about stripers, spring versus fall, just out of curiosity?
Well, this depends on which waterway you're on. I'll use the Cumberland River, for example. I mean, the stripers, the big females full of eggs, they normally spawn out about May 15th. So during the month of April, late April, it's the heaviest they are. But at the same time, during the spring, we get these deluges of rain that come in, okay? And we'll get, four or five inches of rain over a 6-8 hour period, and it blows the river out for a couple of days. I like the fall better. Simply for the fact that the weather is more stable. And as you know, hurricanes happen down south in the fall. So we will get some bad weather occasionally. But generally, like we had in the last week or so, we had 7-10 days in a row of mild temperatures, 60 in the evening and 75 during the day. And the fishing's just been phenomenal. I mean, we caught that company record fish. Turned around and hit a couple 40-pounders the next day. I fished yesterday. We had a 4-fish day with a nice kicker fish, about 35 pounds. So I like this time of year, Jim. Now, the spring fishing's good. On Lake Cumberland, for stripers, for example, the rain's not going to bother you quite as much because it doesn't really buddy unless we really get, a super heavy rain, a flood, basically. But I prefer the fall simply for that. And in the fall, the fish are getting ready for winter, and they're just eating machines as well.
Yeah, that's the thing that, how can I describe this? They're not as finicky. They're just more consistent. They're going to feed every single day that they can in the fall. And the weather fronts, the cold fronts don't seem to bother them quite as much. As they do in the spring, and to your point, I mean, even that big bowl of soup, Lake Cumberland, gets muddy in the spring. I mean,
it does.
It's not unusual for
muddy, Jim. It stays muddy for 4 or 5 days, and all that muddy water, of course, then goes out the dam and down to the Cumberland River. So it's just a fact of life that we have to deal with. There's really nothing you can do about it. You plan your trip, you can't plan the weather.
Yep. Well, the important thing for folks to understand is the fall also provides a period Not that the spring doesn't. You know, spring provides excellent multi-presentation opportunities. But the fall, man, that's when you catch with live bait, you catch with artificial bait. And as you know, I much prefer to catch fish on artificial if I can. I'm not exclusionary about it by any means. You know, I'm a fisherman. I'm going to do what I got to do to catch fish. But I love casting for stripers and or hybrids. And the period when you're – well, set the stage again for what's going to happen at Lake Cumberland, these other lakes that we talked about. There's a very predictable pattern that happens here as we approach the turnover and beyond. Talk about that and some of the lures that folks can use, and describe the live bait techniques as well.
Well, this is the time of year when, you know, summer's over. We're in the full-fledged fall now. We've had some Indian summer days. It's been nice. And the lakes begin, the lakes at this point are probably just about at their lowest oxygen level. And the cold, of course, colder water has heavier oxygen. As soon as we get a cold snap and the lake gets energized again with some fresh oxygen, these fish just kind of go nuts. And what we like to do for surface lures, there's a lot of different, you know, lures that you could throw. But I really like throwing the blade baits. I like throwing the hair jigs with that plastic trailer. If you're fishing for hybrids, you just want to downsize everything just a little bit. A hybrid is a cross between a white bass and a striper. It's a genetic creation. And, but they're wonderful to eat. They don't get as long as stripers do, but they're more football shaped, I guess you could say, Jim. Okay. They're fat little guys. I prefer to eat them more than I do the stripers. They are a delicious eating fish. The stripers, of course, is an ocean whitefish originally and has a nice whitefish fillet. But we, during the winter months, starting here in about 30 days, we'll begin to troll small umbrella rigs for the hybrids on all our different hybrid you know, waterways that we fish, from Cherokee to the Clinch River to Tim's Ford are big hybrid waterways. There's some other ones, folks, you all can fish. I don't have guide services on. Jim, you know some of these. What do you have?
Well, we could talk there. You'd have to include Harrington, Rough River, Barron. You know, there's
Taylorsville Lake right out of Louisville. It's got a nice population of hybrids.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And, you know, what's a fisherman do on his day off? I've gone over there before and trolled some small umbrella rigs and just knocked the fire out of them.
Jim, for folks that have never done that and are privy to fish those lakes, describe to them how you go about that and what type of areas to target in the fall, because they're really missing out. If they want to catch some really nice hybrids and get into some bigger fish, this is the time of year to do it. Tell them how to go about that.
Well, this time of year, when the cold snap hits here in a few weeks, the fish will begin to congregate in the mouths of the creeks. And they're not necessarily going to run up in there. There's a few that will run up in there. And there's days schools of fish will run up in the creek and then run back out to the mouth again. All of a sudden, they'll be gone. And 2 hours later, they're back. Okay? And I'll know that they're back in the back of the creek because I'll have somebody call me on their cell phone to tell me, hey, a big school erupted back here. They basically follow the bait around, and the colder weather brings the bait to the surface, especially when the lake turns over. And all of a sudden, you know, they're up there on the surface, and they're going where their food is, just like any other creature does. And so that's the first thing you want to do is on any big body of water is find where the creek mouths are, and then you want to graph. Now, Jim, there's a thing that we're doing nowadays. You haven't experienced this yet, but I'm going to tell the folks about it. I learned this probably 6-8 years ago over at Cherokee Lake. You can actually take your landing net and beat on the bottom of your boat in a cadence about once every second, boom, 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 and this will draw the hybrids and the stripers underneath of your boat. And I actually sell a product now called a Bobo Stumper that you can hook up to your battery, and it's doot, 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 do just thought it was the craziest thing in the world, seeing these guys over at Cherokee Lake doing this. You can hear them across the lake. And all of a sudden, the school will come under and every rod goes down. And what it is that this mimics the sound, the Bobo Stumper mimics the sound of the machine that feeds these baby stripers when they're in the hatchery. So when that machine comes on and is throwing its food out to them, boom, 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 they're used to hearing that. And we're using that device now on all of our different lakes. All of my guides have them. And it's just unbelievable the difference it can make on a slow day, especially when the fish are near the surface. And you can turn it on, and all of a sudden the bait comes to it as well. And it's pretty odd, but that's just kind of a trick for the people out there. If you don't have one or can't buy one, you can actually take your landing net and beat on the bottom of your boat. And in deep water, it won't work in the river. In shallow water, it'll spook them. But in deep water, it'll bring them in.
Yep. I got introduced to that at Lake Oconee down in Georgia about 4 or 5 years ago. And I was really scratching my head about it. But the gentleman I was fishing with, he's very innovative and, you know, studies fish the way you and I do. And sure enough, it works. It seems like a gimmick, but it's not. It really does work.
No, it really does work well. Are you about to go to break, Jim?
Yeah, let me go to break. We got Ed from Lawrenceburg on hold. If you would like to call in tonight, the number is 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. This break is presented by SMI Marine, just north of the Snyder. Go get your boat ready for winter now. Avoid the rush. They'll take great care of you, take care of any problems you've been having throughout the summer period. And remember, you'll never get soaked by my friends at SMI Marine. And welcome back to Jim Strader Outdoors, everybody. If you've got numbers to call or you'd like to have us answer questions tonight, they are 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484, which is exactly what Ed from Lawrenceburg and Tony from LaGrange have done. Guys, welcome aboard. Ed, we'll take you first since you were first in. What's up?
Oh, not much, Jimbo. I talked to you a couple weeks ago on a river report about trout fishing, and you know my woes with my boat this year, so I was relegated for our annual tournament to fish from the bank. But I got to watch Mother Nature at her finest, and I have a question for Captain Jim in that regard. We watch stripers just chasing these stocker trout all across the river, and I don't fish south of the border unless I book with you, which I'm planning on doing. What would your advice be for those of us that can't use trout? What would be the next best bait to drift down that river with?
Well, it would be the bait that you can get that's difficult to get, but you can run up. You're talking about the river below the Wolf Creek Dam and before you
get
to Kentucky? Okay.
Yes, sir.
There's several big creeks that come down, you know, come in there. There's Crocus Creek closer to the dam. Below Burksville, there's several other large creeks. Basically, you got to go in there and spend several hours and throw your bait net, try to get some big gizzard shad.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
You could get some skipjack near the dam. You could throw sabiki rigs for them, or you can fish rooster tails for them. You can catch trout. You can't use the trout, but if you get skipjack,
right.
The trouble is that they just don't hold their liquor real well. Meaning that they will die in your bait tank. I mean, I own superbaittanks.com. We make the best bait tanks in the world. But skipjack won't even hardly live in our bait tanks. I got to change the water out every 15 minutes from the river with 20 gallons out and 20 gallons in to keep them going. Unless you put an oxygen infused in there and bottle oxygen. But I don't really like to do that on the boat. And skipjack works really well. Big gizzard shad will work. Those are really the options that you have because you can't use trout. And most of the fishermen that fish the Kentucky section just throw lures for them. And you can call me sometime, and I can tell you about some of the lures I sell and some of the lures we use. You know,
I've got a couple of your umbrella rigs, and unfortunately, I haven't hooked up with a striper, but I've caught several hybrids and white bass on them, and I keep flinging them. But I figured that was probably going to be the answer, and I've spent many hours throwing for those gizzards, Chad, and I'm with you. It's a weary and tiresome process, but
difficult.
Unfortunately,
that's one of the reasons I chartered down in Tennessee because hey, I can bring my bait with me. You know,
sure.
Chad, but I'm a licensed bait dealer, and I keep trout at a trout farm, and I keep 400 or 500 at a time. I raise them from little 2 and 3 inch guys all the way up to, 14 to 16 inch, 3 to 4 pound trout I use in certain situations. But we use trout every day that weighs 2 to 3 pounds, and the striper's like...
And I can't imagine, after watching them chase the stalkers, what it looks like to have, a 5 gallon bucket come up underneath the 3 pound trout. So I'm definitely going to be calling you. I've always been envious and jealous watching, the beast that you pull out down there in Tennessee. So be me and my boys within the next year if we can get
them. Give us a holler sometime. We fish 365. The only time we don't fish the river is if it's, lightning, because the fish don't like it, and I don't like it.
Sure.
Or if it's so cold, if it's sleeting sideways like Forrest Gump or something, then we're just not going to go out, okay? But other than that,
yes,
we're fishing. We fish all winter. Some of the biggest fish of the year we catch in the winter because that big fish has to keep its metabolism going. And people don't realize that. I mean, it's a big creature, and it needs energy. It does have to eat. And we don't catch as many fish in the winter, but using great big bait like we do, if we get one to hit, and we hit a fish 2 days ago, my other captain, John Bowman, was out, and he was just pre-fishing and had about a 3 pound trout on, and he caught a 48 inch striper that weighed 49 pounds. Unbelievable.
That's
fish.
Absolutely, and for a guy like me, at least I've caught a 39-inch in the lake, so I'm anxious to get one of the big boys.
Yeah, I mean, that normally our smallest fish a day is like 20, 25 pounds, but again, it's not like we catch them, as many of them as we do in the lake. There's days that we get skunked, and then there's days when they turn on and we'll catch 5, and the smallest will be 25 pounds. Jim Strader, you're still there. Tell them about it.
Well, it's quite an experience. Seeing those fish come up and bulge and chase the trout, to me, is as much fun as catching the fish because it's a pretty awesome situation. Edwin, answer all your questions.
Thanks, Jim. Nothing beats a cold day, whenever that adrenaline rush hits, you warm up real quick.
You ain't kidding. All right, folks, we got to go to break here. This break is presented by my friend Paul Thomas. He is the broker at Mossy Oak Properties Heart Realty. If you want a magic wildlife property in the market part, go see him. He will take great care of you. Check out his listings at mophartrealty.com. And we are back on Jim Strader Outdoors. If you would like to join us tonight by phone, talk about stripers, hybrids, deer, outdoors in general, we're here for you. The numbers to reach us, 571-8484, 1-800-444-8484. Let's go to Tony, who's calling us from LaGrange. Tony, thanks for hanging on. What have you got, brother?
I got a question for you. I happen to do a lot of bass fishing. 95% of my bass fishing is artificial. I want to know why grass carp have also started hitting artificial baits.
I haven't known them to do so personally, but if they're
I caught seven of them this year.
Oh, I'm not doubting you. I'm just saying I have.
Well,
not.
No, I, yeah. I'm just saying, I've caught seven of them. Six of them were on torpedoes, topwater, and one of them was on a rubber worm.
Okay. Let me ask you something. In the lakes that you're catching them on, are there fish feeders on those lakes?
No. No fish feeders.
Okay. What I was looking for there was, you know, they come up, they learn very quickly to keen on that floating food. And since you mentioned the torpedo, that was going to be a logical place for me to go. The only reason I could come up with that, and this does happen frequently, in lakes where they have eaten themselves out of house and home, if you will. By that I mean the vegetation is now not as thick as it was. They will eat fish eggs. They will eat small fish. So I'm suspicious that's what you're running into.
I was just wondering, because I even asked wildlife, and he had no clue. And he thought that I was crazy by me saying that I have caught seven of them this year since February of this year, being the smallest one, 20 pounds.
Hey, oh my. Jim, I think I know the answer to it.
Go ahead.
I've caught them before on artificial, but it only happens years when the cicadas come out. Wasn't this a cicada year, Jim?
Yes.
Yeah, we never had any hardly.
Yeah, but on those years, the cicadas come out, and they land on the surface of the water, and they flitter around. And I used to fish small rapalas at farm ponds and do it, and the grass carp would come up and eat them, but only in the years where there was a lot of cicadas or during May when the May, you know, the big mayflies were heavy and landing on the water, and they were rising and taking them. So I think that may have something to do with it. It's a very unique phenomenon. It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, you got that right. And they're heck to pull in, too, especially on ultralights.
Oh, my. Right. They're brutes.
Yeah, you get a 20-pounder on 8-pound test line on an ultralight, and you got a fight on your hands.
Hey, you better have your lunch packed.
Yeah, because it took me 30 minutes to get the one in. And he was.
I don't doubt that a bit. I sure don't. And, you know,
the bass that I've been catching, I mean, you know, the largest one this year has been maybe 5.5 pounds. You know, but it's been just weird.
Yep. Well, the 5.5-pound bass is a good fish. Have you been fishing this fall at all, Tony?
Yes, I've been fishing this fall.
What have you been seeing out of the bass?
The bass have been early in the morning, they'll hit the top waters. But once the sun starts coming up, they'll start hitting the rubber worms. And those are basically the only two things I've used since February was a torpedo or rubber worms.
Okay.
And I've pulled in probably 50, 60 bass since February.
Okay.
Just out of, you know, there's like four or five ponds around LaGrange that I go to, and it's just, you know, cast out. I mean, there's some days I'll go out there, first cast, boom, right off the bat. And then there's some days it takes you a little while to work it, but then you'll get them.
So, Tony, what? These are farm ponds that you're fishing?
No, they're not farm ponds. They're ponds.
How big are they, 3 or 4 acres?
The one I would say is probably about 12 acres. The other one is probably about 5. Then you got Wilbon Park.
I'll tell you what you can do. To catch a bunch of fish in those kind of ponds, what you want to do is get you a bright silver rattle trap.
You're going right where I was headed.
Yep. Get you a small rattle trap, fish it on about 8-pound test line on a spinning reel with a light, ultralight rod, and you can't reel it fast enough, and you'll probably catch 20 or 30 a day.
I wouldn't doubt that. Those rattle traps work good on smallmouths down on Percy Priest Lake in Tennessee.
Tony, I will tell you, from now, I'm talking about right now, through the end of November, that tip Jim just gave you with a rattle trap or any of those rattling type of small free-running crankbaits on the flats in those lakes, anywhere where you got a flat bottom that, you know, of any size at all, there's going to be stacks of bass running that to feed on bluegill, and you can absolutely pound them. with that.
Yeah, I've seen them. Yeah, they've been going after the small bluegill, the hatchlings and that. I've been watching them in the mornings. They'll come running right up to the bank, and they're just nailing small fish right there at the banks.
Well, if you switch off.
Sunny day, Tony. If it's a bright, sunny day, use the silver rattle trap. If it's a cloudy day, use one that's bright red. It's the bright red looks like the hatchling bluegill. And throw it out there and just reel it really fast. Pause for a second, reel it again. When, and normally after you pause, when you start reeling it the second time is when they hit it. They think it's trying to evade and get away. And bring some pliers with you because they'll inhale those rattle traps. Sometimes they're difficult to get the hooks out.
Yeah, I've found that out before. I had to go get them removed myself.
That's an adjunct to, you know, you mentioned most of the time you use a plastic worm or a surface bait, but that rattle trap this time of year is deadly on those flats, especially if you got some flats that have had weed growth throughout the summer, and now as the days get shorter, the nights get longer, the water gets cooler, those weeds will die back, and those bass hold in that little shallow carpet of existing weed to ambush bait fish. And there's nothing, in my opinion, much deadlier than a rattle trap in those scenarios. It's crazy. Now, I do want to add an adjunct to that. If you want a power fish, which what I mean by that is make a lot of cast, cover a lot of water quickly, throw a buzz bait in with that. Because you run a buzz bait on those flats early and late in the day, oh, my goodness, it is magic, buddy.
Those are good.
Okay.
All righty. I appreciate it, sir.
Yes, sir, Tony. It's good
have
to talk
good
to you.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one.
You too. Appreciate the call. Hey, Jim.
Yes, sir.
Let's return to subject of matter, which is stripers and hybrids. Of course, I'm delighted we talked about these other fish. A lot of people don't understand. You used to be a tournament bass fisherman. And of course, as people know, I'm a multi-species guy. I'm fishing for what's biting.
You do.
I've been fortunate enough to do that all my life. So
that little roadrunner you like to throw.
Oh, yeah.
You I like call it the bait. I remember we're out fishing for big stripers. I turn around, you're throwing that little bait. You started catching what we call bluegill, crappie, bass. I was like, wow.
Yep. Now, Jim, this fall period, top water, and this is where I think stripers are at their offer their ultimate experience, honestly. You know what I mean? Seeing a big fish, a hybrid or a striper, either one, I don't care which one you talk about, hit on top water is magic. Talk about when's the peak period for that. Give me a target date month to start and when it tapers off. And it's pretty much the same on all our lakes. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about Cumberland or Barron for hybrids or Rough River for hybrids. Talk about that a bit.
Probably be about November 10th to November 15th is normally when the fish begin to congregate up. We've had some cold snaps by then. The fish will begin to come to the surface. What I like to throw at them as far as like a jerk bait, plastic minnow imitating jerk baits work really well. One of my favorites to throw is a rattling rogue. I like to throw it in a clown pattern. I'll throw a 6-inch rattling rogue when the fish are on the surface. But again, I like a good blade bait like a Silver Buddy. You could throw that out and rip it through there. The secret is throw it past them. Where they're coming up on the surface, make a long cast past them, run it right into them, and then drop it. And that heavy lead blade bait will drop about 10 feet. When you start it again and rip it up through them, they will absolutely destroy it. But you can always fish like a smaller Zara spook. That works. And let me give you guys a tip for the listeners out there. One of the worst things you can do when you see the stripers up on the surface is run and gun your gasoline motor and run right up into the edge of them.
And when you do that, that gasoline motor is going to spook them, and down they're going to go. Always be respectful as well to other people that are fishing on them. Don't come running right through the middle of them. Don't run up on them. Try to stop at least 50 to 60 yards away, okay? And then put your trolling motor down, put your trolling motor on high, and run up in there. And generally, if they're going to come up, they're going to stay up for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. You'll have a chance to – they corral this bait into great big balls. And you'll see the birds getting them from the top and the stripers and the hybrids getting them from the bottom. But you don't want to run right into them and spook them down. I've seen that happen so many times, and I just want to shake people sometimes.
Now, what they don't realize, they spook the bait. And when the bait disperses and shatters as a result of that, and those major predators that are smart fish and understand what that motor means,
they know what
it's
that noise
game over.
Means. Yeah.
Yep. It's just
always stop short of that and then run in with your motor and be respectful of the other people and get something that you can throw a long distance and
yep.
get it out there.
That's right. All right, folks, we got to go to another break here. It's presented by Paul Thomas at Mossy Oak Properties. He is the region's wildlife management property farm vacation home expert. He's got all kinds of properties that you'd be interested in. In his listing base, and he would be delighted if you've got a farm or wildlife property you'd like to sell to talk to you. They've got a great success ratio in doing so. Check them out at mophartrealty.com. And welcome back to Jim Strader Outdoors. Again, we're talking about fall fishing for hybrids and stripers, and man, I tell you, it's one of the many things that's just so magical about the fall period. Jim, I want to go to the what I call KISS. We all know what that means. Keep it simple, stupid. Way of fishing for hybrids and stripers for folks who have not done it before and who are eager to get out in this period of the year when they get active, and again, that's going to start get really revved up here in about a week or two. We'll run all the way up through Christmas, maybe beyond, depending on the weather, of course. But trolling with the umbrella rigs, big and small, can be very, very effective. Talk about how to do that, what type of areas to target, and the tackle that people need to utilize to be successful with that, if you will. We got about 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, I think I can probably get it fit in by then. As far as equipment goes, the umbrella rigs themselves are going to weigh about 3/4 of a pound. It depends. That's a full-size umbrella rig. In certain states, you can only have 3 hooks. We'll talk about Lake Cumberland. And most of the Kentucky, you can have, there's no limit on the number of hooks on the umbrella rig. Tennessee and Indiana, you can only have 3 hooks. But talking about Lake Cumberland, our standard umbrella rig has 9 jigs. Each jig will weigh an ounce. This is a hair jig with a plastic twister behind it. An umbrella rig looks like a child's mobile that hangs down, except it's coming through the water, and it presents a number of hair jigs. And it's a metal rig that is a has different lines that come off of it. We use steel leaders, and the secret to it is to make sure when you get in, it's deployed good, it'll run good. You want to use pretty thick rods. I use 40-pound test line, big line counters. You want to have line counters because you got to know how far to put it back. We normally run them back about 100 feet, and at 2.5 mile an hour, it's going to run. That's normally when you put your boating gear and just let go of it. Most boats are going to idle forward about 2.5 mile an hour. Put your boating gear, and you just troll it back there. I run 4 at a time. And so basically, with 9 jigs out there, I have 36 jigs coming through the water. And you hit a school of fish, and a lot of times you'll get 2 or 3 fish, especially with hybrids, that'll hit each one of the jigs. And for the folks out there, you can reach me at striperfun.com,
I had my own line of lures that we took off the market for last year because of COVID, but we're going to be coming back strong on that, and I'll be able to tell you about some other products you can use in the meantime. The trolling umbrella rigs is also, Jim, good for search and destroy, meaning that you can cover a whole lot of ground with them, okay? And all of a sudden, if you find a school and you pick up a couple of fish, you can bring your umbrella rigs in, and you can go back on top of them and drop live bait on them. So it's a good search tool as well.
Real quick, we got a minute. Target areas for that in the fall. Where should they start the search?
The mouths of the where the creeks hit the main lake. Once we get pretty far into December, about Thanksgiving time, at that point it's like a light switch, and boom, the fish are going to run back in the creeks. Lake Cumberland, you can fish all the way from Fishing Creek, Beaver Creek, Otter Creek, Indian Creek, Greasy Creek, Lily Creek. All of these creeks, you can run back in there, look for rock walls, you know, fish your points, and of course, you'll see them coming up on the surface, and you can throw stick baits at them, blade baits, hair jigs, and it's just a wonderful fishery.
Yes, sir, and it's a great time of year because 90% of the fish are in the smallest part of the lake, which is the creeks. Jim, great show. Appreciate all the information. We'll be back to you next time. Folks, appreciate you. God bless everybody.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.